Welcome to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. Mike is one of the nation's top realtors and is highly regarded as an authority in residential real estate sales. Mike Bell has nothing to sell but great wisdom. You're going to love this show. Now, here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. My name is Abby, and I'm Mike's client care director, and we'll be with you for the next hour talking about home inspections and everything you need to know about that. We're here in Pasadena, California, with my boss, Mike Bell, one of the top agents in the nation. He was listed as one of the top agents in 2013 in the Wall Street Journal. Mike has been selling for about 20 years, and this is a live call-in show, and we can be reached at 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's 888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-463-6748. Mike is a licensed California real estate broker at Keller Williams International in Pasadena. And you can reach him via email at mikebell@kw.com. His website is michaelbellteam.com, and his personal cell phone is 888-401-1555, and you can find him easily on the web.
Thank you, Abby. What are we going to talk about today?
Home inspections.
Ooh, we should get Dan Leach in here.
Oh, great idea.
Oh, here he is.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Thank you for having me come in today. I appreciate it.
We're going to be talking about general home inspections. When you buy a home, it's usually pretty prudent if you're a buyer that you have the home inspected by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dan is the go-to guy for a number of realtors, people in the area. You've been doing this for how many years?
Oh, God. 24 years, actually. Yeah, a long time. I don't look that old, I know. But it's been a great business.
And basically, it's condos and houses.
Primarily, yeah. I do inspect occasionally some commercial property, but yeah, mostly single-family residences and condos, yeah.
And you stay pretty busy, of course.
All the time.
I've known you forever.
Yes.
And your wife works for Keller Williams also, but another branch.
She does, yeah. Yeah, she's out in the Glendora area.
She's in my referral network. We work a lot with each other.
Yeah, you guys have had a great relationship. It's great.
I really push having a local expertise, helping you, and when it's, you know, if it's in her territory, I always tell my clients, well, I can help you, but I'd prefer that you use somebody who's fantastic in that area.
And she is.
And she's fantastic.
Yes.
She's very good. So we're going to talk about general home inspections and the process and what to look for and how to find one and how much they cost. And we'll talk about some funny stuff, hopefully. I have a whole bunch of questions I'd like to ask you about.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure you found some crazy stuff on home inspections.
Oh, yeah. You want to go there already?
No, let's just do the basics. Let's just jump right into it because I know, actually, I've got a ton of questions and I want to make sure we get through all of these. So let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
All right. So, you've been doing this for many years.
Many years,
and you like it.
I do enjoy it. There, you know, like in any job, there's always aspects that you like and things that you don't quite like. Unfortunately, this particular business requires a bit of crawling and climbing, and sometimes I get myself into situations physically that are a little difficult, but hey, I'm here for my clients.
Well, I've known you for a long time, and I've suggested that my clients use you, and they can pick anybody they want. But I didn't know this until we had our little, you know, we spent a few hours before each show kind of going over a bit of an outline.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't even, I mean, you're word of mouth only. You are a referral only. I wanted to promote your website. You don't have a website, but you stay so busy, and that's huge.
Yeah.
Because most home inspectors, they have to have a website, they have to do mailers, they do a lot of promotion,
mm-hmm.
and you don't do that.
You know, I really don't.
Big reason.
Well, you know, I found that almost all my business is referral based. It's all from realtors. I do a lot of times get repeat business from the clients that I've inspected for. And quite frankly, I get a lot of business from the sellers that I'm inspecting for the buyer. And they like what I do and they want to hire me for their inspection when they're buying a place. So I've just never really felt a need to do really any kind of advertising other than just keeping my clients happy.
Congratulations. You're very fortunate. I think that's in anybody in any business, I think that's a key. If you're going to hire a realtor, find somebody who's highly regarded, very busy, and doesn't need to promote themselves because they can work on referrals. Same thing with a doctor, a dentist, contractor.
Yep, exactly.
Brain surgeon. You know, it really is referral.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about this before, how people sometimes in real estate make their decisions on how they hire people. And we were talking about this, how we were kind of scratching our heads going, well, why don't people interview more agents? Why don't people ask their friends who they should be using?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they just sometimes, you know, give their business to somebody who's maybe brand new or doesn't work the area or who's part-time or, you know, really needs to promote themselves in the newspaper? Why don't you just go after somebody who's, you know, on referral? That's my business, and it's your business too.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great way to run a business. You know, having other people who have worked with you being your best source of advertising is, I mean, you can't pay for that. You know, there's not enough money to pay for that.
All right. So, how many inspections have you done in your
ever
time?
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, I probably inspect about 500 homes a year, and I've been doing this for 24 years. So we're looking, I don't know, 12,000 inspections.
And you don't just we're in Pasadena in the San Gabriel Valley, but we were talking about how, I mean, if you go to Malibu, you enjoy doing an inspection if the house is on the beach.
Yes, that's a prerequisite. So don't call me up if it's, you know, in the skids of Malibu. Only on the beach. No, I'm just kidding, of course.
So how long does an inspection usually take, a general inspection?
Usually about 2 to 3 hours. I mean, it depends on the size of the house. It depends on the age of the house. Older homes typically have more things that go wrong with them, so it can take longer. But on average, 2 to 3 hours.
And if you're buying a brand new home, should you get an inspection done?
I think so. There is no such thing as a perfect home, and even a brand new home a lot of times has some issues where the contractor has not gone through and done a complete punch list, or there may be some components of the house that the subs have not fully checked out. So absolutely, yeah, get an inspection done.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Let me see here. What do you inspect during an inspection? Where do you start and what do you inspect?
Well, I want to say everything, but that's not really true. It's the major components of the house. So we're not really out there to tear the house apart. We're not out there to make a big deal about small issues, but we do want to make sure that the buyer is aware of the overall condition of the house. So when I do my inspection, and every inspector is probably a little bit different, but I do kind of a natural walk around. So I start from the outside of the house, do the exterior, get up on the roof, as much as I can see on the outside, and then I start my interior inspection. So the components that we're looking at are what pretty much everybody wants to know about: the condition of the foundation, mm-hmm. the condition of the water pipes and the soil and the sewer pipes, the electrical system, the roof, the overall structure, windows and doors, see if they're opening and closing, the appliances, and typically it's built-in appliances, non-built-in appliances we typically do not inspect or test. But that's pretty much it. I mean, we want to give a good sense to the buyer of what they're buying.
But you're not a termite inspector.
That's correct.
And you're not an appraiser.
No, that's correct.
An appraiser is somebody who values the property, usually for a bank.
Yes.
And there are licensed appraisers out there. But
yep.
So that's okay. I just want to clear that up because there's been a little bit of confusion out there. That's not your job.
That's correct. Yeah, an appraiser is out there just to give a valuation on the property. We do not give any valuations at all. I've had some times where a buyer has asked me the $64,000 question. You know, is it worth it or should I buy this? Well, that's not really my place to answer that question or either one of those questions. So I can answer whatever questions they have regarding to or pertaining to the condition of the house, but its value? No, I have no idea, nor will I ever venture a guess.
Who's the client typically?
Typically it's the buyer. Not always. Sometimes we can have sellers.
Who pays you and when do they pay you?
The buyer. I shouldn't say always, but typically the buyer is the one paying me.
They write you a check on site when
you
get there.
Yes, they do.
Okay. And then, typically it's the buyer that's there hiring you.
Correct.
Usually it's a referral from a real estate agent.
That's correct.
Or they've met you because you've inspected their home for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, is the buyer usually there during the inspection?
I like them to be.
So do I. They don't have to be, but
they really should be.
They're paying for it.
They really should be. And one thing that's important, and sometimes people don't necessarily agree with this, I think it's important for the buyer to be there for the whole process. Yep. However, sometimes I don't want to say they get in my way, but I am there to provide as much information, to gather as much information as I possibly can about mm-hmm. the condition of the house. And if I have somebody there tailing me or talking to me when I'm trying to gather that information, quite frankly, I'm human and I can get distracted. Mm-hmm. So I tell people I don't multitask very well and that I really do have to focus on the task at hand. And if it seems like I'm being a little rude, I'm not being rude, but I do want to get that information to them and not miss anything.
Makes sense. It's like, if I'm going to a doctor, I don't really want to. When he's writing down things, I really don't want to start talking to him. I want to put the right stuff. I don't want him to all of a sudden prescribe Valium or I don't know.
Well, if he's probing you, maybe you don't want to be asking too many. Well, maybe you do want to ask questions. Depends on how friendly you are with your doctor.
Well, typically in the process of the home inspection, when does it come up? A buyer writes an offer to the seller. The seller accepts it. We have an escrow, or we have a contract that's consummated, and typically in most contracts the buyer has the opportunity to inspect the home.
Right.
They can do an inspection of the neighborhood. They can drive around, and they also get to inspect maybe the title report and see what's going on with title. If there's any easements, they can inspect all the disclosures. They can inspect all that's. So that's usually the first thing that a buyer does when they buy, when they go into escrow, is they call the inspector because they want to make sure they know what they're getting into.
Right.
Now, certainly the seller they're supposed to disclose everything they're aware of, but that's the key thing, at least in California, what you're aware of. So I don't think that you can really necessarily rely on the seller knowing everything about their home, because it's been in my experience, the sellers are always surprised at the findings of the inspection. I mean, I would be too in my house. I just don't know everything about the house.
Yeah, a lot of times they are. There have been times in the past where I know that a seller has concealed some items, and I've had to question them on them in a nice way. But yeah, most of the time the sellers are really unaware of the overall conditions. They may be aware that they had a roof leak, 6 months ago. But usually they're not crawling up in the attic area. Usually they're not crawling underneath the house. And other than them just going through the house in normal day-to-day, opening doors, closing doors, they really don't have a whole lot of information beyond that.
Well, typically a buyer will, usually in the first week, will hire an inspector to go through the house. I've had some buyers, there's no rule or law that the buyer has to hire an inspector.
Correct.
I've had some buyers that my stepfather is a general contractor, and he bought a house in La Cañada, and he was like, oh yeah, are you kidding me? I'm not going to hire somebody. I'm a general contractor. And he did his own inspection. It's fine if he wants to do that. We actually made him fill out a form that says, you're in a way, a nice way, you're knucklehead for not hiring somebody mm-hmm. outside, but he decided to do that. But I have had clients hire their brother-in-law who's a plumber. And that's up to the buyer. The buyer can decide who they want to hire.
Yeah, the reality is this, that inspectors are trained, their eyes are trained to see things that even a general contractor would not necessarily be able to see. And I think that a buyer is really doing themselves a disservice by not hiring a qualified inspector to come through and assess the conditions. A plumber may know about plumbing, but when he's underneath the house, he may not know anything about the foundation, and there may be significant issues with the foundation that he doesn't even know to look at. So that can be a little dangerous, just in the sense that they're not getting as much information as they really should be about the house.
And the other thing we were talking about is how the seller really doesn't know. I don't think sellers know everything about their home. Maybe some of them do. I certainly don't. I have an old 1914 Craftsman. I don't know everything about the house. But if I ever, when I do sell it, one of these days I'll sell it, the buyer will do an inspection, and they're probably going to use that to either, they may want to cancel the transaction. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe there's something I just didn't know about, and they just don't want to buy the property. But they'll probably use that as a negotiation tool, sure, right. Because they went into the property, into the escrow, thinking that it was, you know, a certain condition, and now we all find out that it isn't. And usually if you do this early on and you have that contingency, the typical buyer will ask for some kind of a credit or a price reduction. I think we're going to go into our first break. So we're here with Dan Leach, the owner of A Quality Building Inspection Service, and we'll be right back. We're on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show.
Now, back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. He is A Quality Building Inspection Service. Dan, I never gave your phone number out.
Oh, well, I can do that.
Go for it.
626-914-9114. Rolls off the tongue very easily.
Do it one more time.
Oh, 626-914-9114.
And what's your email?
AQI@email.com. AQI@email.com.
Great. You know, home inspections can be terrifying for both buyer and seller. You know, the buyer is, you know, really crossing their fingers that no major problems are found. Mm-hmm. Seller's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Probably crossing their toes too, even their eyes, hoping that nothing really bad. Nobody really wants something bad to come up.
Right.
All the hard negotiations, hopefully, were done with the offers going back and forth. And, you know, we all have the same finish line. Real estate agents do, appraisers do. We want the house to close.
Yeah.
If this is what the buyer wants. Mm-hmm. So we're all, you know, and you're helping in that process. But if you're a home buyer, I think that a home inspection is an absolute must.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm wondering if you can give me some ideas if you're listening, how do you hire the best, you know, how do you find the best inspector out there? What do you look for in an inspector?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that you get referrals from qualified people. I mean, if you're working with a really good realtor, that person can give you some names. If you have any friends or family who have had a great experience with a realtor, absolutely listen to them, because that's where you're going to get probably the least biased opinion of who you should hire. And then, I mean, you can, I'm not a big fan of looking up people on the internet for any kind of servicing. Some people do. I don't advertise on the internet, so you won't find me on a website. But I just think probably the best thing is referrals, and then you can ask about how long they've been doing inspections, what they specialize in, what kind of background they have.
Oh, looks like we have a caller here. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel, you're going to speak. You have a microphone in front of you.
I keep forgetting. I'm not used to having a mic in front of me.
All right, tell us who's calling.
Well, you have a caller, Greg, from Wyoming, for our Dan.
Hey, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, how's it going?
Going well. Thank you for calling.
Good, of course. I'm a big fan. I'm glad to call in. So I had a question for Dan. I know it differs state to state. I know you guys are down there in California, but I was wondering if it's a good idea to get an inspection on your home before they're up on the market.
You know, that's actually a good question. I have done a lot of inspections, pre-sale inspections for sellers, and I think that maybe some realtors might have some different opinion, but I think it's a good idea. It's good for the seller, number one, to know the condition of their house, which a lot of times they don't. If there are any significant deficiencies on the house, it would be good for them to know about that. So at least they know that, let's say, if there's a problem with the foundation, they know that right away, so they can get a foundation contractor out there to look at it. If they needed to do some servicing or repairs, then they could do that beforehand. I don't know, Mike, what is your opinion on that?
Well, it depends on what it's intended for. If it's intended to find out what you should fix really fast, I think you have to be careful. I think a seller needs to be careful.
Why is that?
Well, sometimes they don't fix things very well, or maybe they need permits for stuff, or it is. I think it's like I said, it depends. I'm sorry. It depends on what it's really intended for. Most of my clients, we sell a lot of homes. Most of my clients do not do an inspection. One of the reasons why is that if you do an inspection, you have to. That's a disclosable item. Mm-hmm. Even if you fix it, you still have to disclose it. So you'd have to give that inspection report to your new buyer. Now, generally, in my it's been my experience, a buyer will not use that as their inspection. They won't use that.
That's true.
They're going to get somebody else. Yeah. So they're going to give that report. Oftentimes, that buyer will give that report to their inspector, and now all of a sudden you've got two inspections. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe it you know that's good, I guess, for the buyer to have two opinions. I don't know how it helps the seller necessarily.
Mm. Well, the only thing I can think of is that it maybe it might kind of diffuse some issues that. I like to think of it as them being able to disclose everything that they can. So if they are aware that there is a roof problem, when in fact maybe they didn't have any roof leaking, then they could disclose that. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw in have a contractor out to give them a bid to do the repair, so they could disclose that as well. I mean, I'm coming from the perspective of an inspector and not from a realtor, so I of course have a little bit of different opinion, but that's where I'm coming from on that.
I mean, I think it depends on the intention, what you're going to do. If you're going to use that inspection report and you're going to go do all these fix-up things, that's fine. You still have to you really should disclose what you've fixed up too, but you still have to disclose that report.
Yep. And then, of course, that report, if they do any repairs, that report then is no longer accurate because the repairs have been made. So I can definitely see your position on that too.
Well, normally, I mean, if you're going to do a pre-sale inspection, you're not going to do it the day that you put it on the market. You're going to do it prior to that, so it's going to it might be a few months old. So I would think it's not really valid because I mean things change.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's going to be a windstorm. Well, it just changes everything on the roof.
Yeah, we could have an earthquake out here in California.
We just had one a few weeks ago. My kids felt it.
That
was one two Fridays ago.
That wasn't an earthquake.
It wasn't?
No.
What was it?
If it doesn't wake you out of bed, it's not an earthquake. Come on.
Exactly.
That's true.
Isn't that right, Daniel?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
I saw the movie Tremors.
Yeah. No, that's the wrong movie. No, that totally.
Tremors. Are you kidding me? Where'd you pull that out?
What show are we on?
Like, I don't know.
God.
Is it the Daniel show?
Could be.
Hey, Daniel, just be quiet next time, okay? Thank you.
So, anyway, well, let's go back to the top things you should look for in an inspector.
Yeah.
Referral-based.
Absolutely.
Experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inspection company in town, and every time I'll go to the property and watch the inspection being done, it's the same company, but it's a different person that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, well, how many inspectors do you have? And this one had 27 of them. 27 different inspectors that that showed up. They're young. They look younger than you. You have all this white hair. How do you get that white hair? Your eyebrows are white too.
You want to know? Working 24 years with realtors, that's how I got white hair. And guess what? It's even getting whiter as we speak. So your question, I think, is how do the companies that are more or less a franchise or a chain, how do you get the quality of inspection consistently from one inspector to another? Is that your question?
That's my question.
See, I knew that's where you're going. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that.
It doesn't make sense.
No, I'm a sole proprietor. I am the only inspector with my company, which has its limitations because I can't do 500 inspections a week like some of these other companies can, but I think the quality is much more important. And if I have to turn away clients because I can't be there, and that's just what I have to do.
Well, when you show up to an inspection, what we talked about this too, when you show up to an inspection, you bring a digital camera.
Yes, I do.
And you've got a computer,
uh-huh.
a laptop, and you start filling things out. And do you give a report on the spot?
No. Okay. I'm a little old school.
I like this about
maybe a lot old school. This is the way I do my inspections. I write down with an actual pencil You know what those are. and a pad. And I use a pencil and a pad. And there's some very specific reasons for that. Number one, I have looked into doing some digital devices that I could go ahead and put things into. And those are great, and they work really well. However, if they get dropped into a pool, I lose all my data. If I drop it on the ground and it cracks, I lose all my data. If I drop my pad into the pool, I just pick it up and wipe it off. I do have my laptop there, but I have kind of changed a little bit how I've done my inspections in the sense of preparing the reports. I used to do the reports on site, but I found that it was taking a lot of time after I actually performed the inspection to prepare the report, and I usually did it out in my truck.
Everybody's sitting there waiting.
Everybody's sitting twiddling their thumbs going, well, how long is this going to take? And I just felt that that really wasn't it wasn't appropriate for me to take advantage of people's time like that. Everybody's time is busy and important.
Well, I don't want you to rush it. It's like a doctor rushing his
absolutely
synopsis.
Absolutely. So you want the report to be accurate, but you also want that personal touch. So I prepare the reports when I get back to the office, when I get back home. So I'm spending that time on my time, and then everybody else is able to be more productive. And yes, I do prepare the reports. They're a digital report sent in a PDF format that is emailed to the client and to the agent. I take a lot of photographs. Some people have said maybe I'm a little overkill on the photos. I don't think so. I'm not just taking photos of the deficient issues with the house. I try to document as much as I can because, for a couple of reasons, it gives you a good snapshot, if you will, of the condition of the whole house and not just one particular area that might have some problems. And so later on, let's say, if we do have a windstorm, I've already documented that all the shingles are in place, and then, a week later, a windstorm comes up and knocks off, blows off 50 shingles. Well, we have that particular snapshot of that date and time to say, hey, this is the condition as it was right now. And then, of course, the deficiencies, if we have some water pipes that are leaking, or if we have, some asbestos duct pipes or whatever, that will give that information too. And it just, I'm a very visual person, and I think a lot of people like to have that visual key so they get a better understanding of what's going on with their house.
A little bit easier when you have a digital photo.
Well, as opposed to film?
Or just a description. I mean,
well, yeah.
I've been doing this business for a long time. We didn't have digital photography 20 years ago.
That's correct.
I had one guy who used to take Polaroids. I mean, it's just it was tough. So it makes it a lot easier. But you email the report afterwards.
Yes, I do.
But the last inspection we were at, you spent a good amount of time in the kitchen with the buyer and the realtor, and if the seller wants to be there, kind of going over what's going to be in your report.
Yeah.
And a little bit of hand-holding, too. Sometimes you've taken the client over and pointed to things, the air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
The filter, all the little things. But so it's not like everybody is they're wondering, they're scratching their heads what's going on with the inspection. They actually know what's coming down the pike.
Well, yeah, and I think that's hugely important that everybody be there, as many people as can be there. Number one, it's important for the buyer to be there and the buyer's agent. But I like to have the listing agent and also the seller there as well. If they can hear it from me firsthand, it eliminates a lot of questions later on. It eliminates potential misinformation that somebody may give. Mm-hmm. And when I'm there, my priority is to protect my client, to protect the buyer. And I'm not there to adjust my findings, if you will, for either a listing agent or a buyer's agent. I'm there to protect their interests, and that's all I'm there for.
I want to hear a little bit more about that. We're going to go into a break. But you're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach, a quality building inspection service. He does general home inspections for buyers and sellers and realtors in San Gabriel Valley, actually all of L.A. County.
No, all over, even Orange County. And
cool.
Yeah.
I got more questions for you.
All right.
And now more of the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
All right. We're back on our show. Mike Bell Real Estate Show. I'm here with Dan Leach. We're talking about general home inspections. And where we left off is, I want to ask you. Uh-huh. I know this happens to you. So you show up to a house.
Yeah.
And you've been hired by the buyer.
Uh-huh.
And the listing agent or the buyer's agents, what do they say sometimes?
Oh, I think you're referring to, okay, now this is just a few rare cases, but mm-hmm. I have had some agents, and this might get
and
me.
And this never, really never ever happens.
Okay, does anybody actually listen to this show? Because I do. Yeah, we're out in the air, right? Yeah, okay. You're being quiet.
Go ahead.
All right. I have had some agents, and this is a horrible, who have actually told me, hey, go easy on the house. Mm-hmm. And I kind of scratch my head, well, what do you mean? You know, what are you saying? They say, well, go easy. You know, try not to find anything. And I look at them and I maybe verbalize it, but I'm thinking to myself, that was the wrong thing to say. Mm-hmm. Because now that's just going to kind of get me in a mood that I'm going to find everything and maybe some things that maybe might have been smaller things. Now they're going to maybe be magnified a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's something you never want to tell an inspector. Just let the inspector just do their job. Don't ever try to coax them. Don't ever try to direct them. Leave them alone. Let them do their work.
Well, there's a term in the industry called deal killer. Have you heard about that? I had an inspector years ago and I don't know whatever happened with his name was Ron. Oh. And he's dropped off the face of the earth. And this is when I first got in the business, and I was representing a lot of buyers. And he had a tape measure holder. It was leather, and it said DK, but you know, his name was Ron. So I was like, well, what's DK? And he smiled, and he said, oh, they call me deal killer.
Horrible.
His inspection reports were, I think they're a little bit overdone. He would have almost 300 things he would find wrong with the house.
Wow.
Just even the minorest thing, I think what it scared people. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, if you get an inspection report with 300 things, well, every house is going to have some problems, but he didn't really have to, you know, ding every little thing
right.
and make it sound like the house is falling apart, that there's a crack, in the, little crack in the stucco, a little crack in the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy put everything in there, and I think it freaked out a lot of people.
Well, I can understand how some inspectors believe that they need to put as much as they possibly can. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is they do want to make sure that they're letting their client know the actual conditions. But that being said, it all has to be placed into context. Mm-hmm. So just because you're talking about a crack in a sidewalk, and if it doesn't present a trip hazard, okay, there's a crack
in
the sidewalk.
I'm talking about pretty minor little things.
Yeah, yeah, or a crack in the wall that is just from earthquake activity or settlement or whatever, as long as it's not indicating a secondary problem or a more significant problem. Absolutely. Other times, and you know, you're talking about Mr. DK here, I think that maybe they feel like they need to have a bit more importance in the whole process. And sometimes they feel like they want that control, that ability to, hey, I can kill a deal. I think it's a horrible thing for somebody to do. Now, that being said, I have been called a deal killer in the past. And I kind of think it's actually kind of funny. Did I say that in a funny way? Okay. I thought it's more sarcastic.
I don't think it's fair. But I'll tell you about how I feel about that. But go ahead.
Okay. Wait. Yeah. The reality is this, that I have never killed a deal in the 24 years that I've been inspecting, period. I don't wield that kind of power. I just don't. Do I inspect houses that have deficiencies that in turn, because of the information that I give in my inspection and my report, that the buyer elects not to go through with the deal? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But that's my job, to tell them what's going on. It's not my job to tell them, if they ask, hey, should I buy this house? It's not my job. It's not my job to tell them, hey, you know, if you were buying this, you know, would you go through? No, it's not. I'm there to be an impartial person to inspect the condition and let them decide, and to work with their realtor. It's also really important. The buyer's realtor plays a huge part in helping that client understand what the inspection is saying.
Well, I think it's important to note that You're not buying a perfect home.
Nope.
I haven't found a perfect home.
There is none.
I mean, what happened for $3 million? Can you get a perfect home for $3 million?
No. I inspect multi. I mean, $20 million homes, $30 million homes, and I have yet to find one that's perfect. A brand new house, I will find deficiencies in. Not that I'm really, you know, necessarily trying to beat the house up. That's not the point. The point is that here again, I'm trying to protect the interests of my buyer.
Makes sense. How much does it cost generally for a really basic small house inspection? What's the industry average. I've seen it $250 to $400.
Yeah.
And then it goes, it could be closer to $1,000 if it's a huge house.
Yeah. It varies depending on, number one, the company that you're using, because everybody kind of uses their own little scales. There's no set pricing, because that would be price setting, which is illegal. But, my inspection fees vary anywhere from $350 to $450 or so. But that's based on the square foot. It's a larger home. It's going to take more time. So, of course, I have to charge more.
We have an emailed question. This thing's, are you able to see into walls? Daniel, why did you give me that question?
I didn't give you that question.
Did you see into walls? Did that pause in my voice, was that strong enough to indicate anything?
Has anybody ever asked you, can you see into this wall?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good question.
And I tell
thank
them,
you, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. Okay. An inspection is a visual inspection. Doesn't mean that I have x-ray eyes. Mm-hmm. I can't see into the walls. I can't see into areas that are concealed.
You don't open doors? I do open doors, yes.
I'm
sorry. You don't open walls up? You don't cut into drywall?
No. We have to be very, very careful that, number one, it's a non-invasive, non-destructive inspection, which means that I can't really even move people's furniture around because that could cause some damage, some scratching to the floor. Mm-hmm. I have to be very careful. And we also have to realize, too, that house is owned by the seller. I don't own it. The buyer doesn't own it. And so we have to be very respectful of the property. And also, I have to do my due diligence to get as good of an inspection as I possibly can. So there is always a balance of how much I can inspect, how much I can see versus what is concealed and covered. And the reality is, sometimes there are things that are concealed that we can't see until all the furniture is moved out, or if we have a garage that's chock full, like everybody else's garage, chock full of stuff, it's a limited inspection. And there can always be, and sometimes there are things that are uncovered after the inspection, after the seller moves out, and that just does happen.
Well, one of the things I've found in this business is that people use homes differently, and it is, unfortunately, relatively common when somebody buys a house that things do go wrong because people handle the faucets differently, or they're using maybe a section of the home more with showers and tubs and flushing toilets.
Sure.
And same thing with electrical. And maybe, you know, somebody was only plugging in a clock in one of the bedrooms, and now all of a sudden they have a huge computer system, and now the entire electrical system is going awry.
Sure.
And that's kind of hard to figure out in a home inspection. And it's just what happens when you buy a house.
It really is. And there, as long as a buyer knows that they are buying a house, that they, once they own it, and they're responsible for it. And their particular lifestyle is going to affect how a house is used. Sure. I mean, a really good example is even on main sewer lines, where you could have a house that only has maybe two people living in it and they've never had a problem. But, and I always do, by the way, I always recommend on every house that I inspect that they have the sewer line inspected by a third party, because a visual inspection with a scoping. Because there seems to be more times than not some issues, some very significant, some very minor. But if you just had a couple people living there, they might not have ever noticed that there was a problem with roots in the system. And then now we get a family of six moving in the first, you know, 2 or 3 days, the whole thing is backing up into their tub.
We had a transaction that just closed a month and a half ago in La Crescenta, and they did a scoping, and they found that the pipe, the sewer line, the 6-inch that went to the street, was off by 3 inches. It had shifted.
Yeah.
And the people that were living in the home, it was just two people that were living in the home, and they didn't even know.
Yeah.
Because they never used it enough to ever have to ever know that there was ever a problem.
Right.
It was a $16,000 fix, and we had to negotiate that. But it's good that the buyer figured it out. They're smart to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I was representing the seller. I wish they never did any inspections. No, I'm just joking. But you know, we're seeing that more and more, where buyers are doing sewer line inspections. It costs a few hundred bucks to throw a snake in there, and because a lot of times they have to clean it out just to be able to throw the camera in there.
Yeah.
And you can usually sit down with the inspector with a little digital video and just look at everything.
It's great. It's a colonoscopy is all it is. Yeah.
It's a colonoscopy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I, like I said, I don't do those because that is provided by a third party, but that's a great thing to do, and I always recommend it.
And I'm seeing more and more folks doing foundation inspections too.
Yes.
Chimney and foundations. And I think that's just because of where we're at in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Most of the housing stock in Pasadena, and I would say at least a 20-mile radius, most of the housing stock was built before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And so building codes have changed quite a bit since then.
Yeah, a lot of the houses that I inspect, and it's just because of the geography here, that they're older homes. A lot of the houses I inspect are turn of the century up to 1930, 1940s. And those do have a lot of different conditions that I find than a house that was built in the 50s or 60s. And then even into the 80s, those are a whole different era of issues. And then, you know, to present. I do find a lot of houses that don't have foundation bolts. That's very, very common. On houses built before 1933, they were not required to have foundation bolts. It's also different areas too. If you go up into Altadena, La Cañada, La Crescenta, if I can talk here, those areas typically have very hard water, very corrosive water. I know if you're not in this general area, San Gabriel Valley, you probably don't know where those are, but, that can happen all across the country, where even 5 miles away, it can have very, very different conditions which affect the conditions of the components of the house.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick, real easy question. Do you inspect for permits?
No.
I know.
No.
That's for the buyer to do.
Yeah, it really is. That's very important for them to check permits. There's no way for me to do that. I mean, I'm not going to go down to the city and that's, yeah, the buyer needs to do that.
We're going to go to another break. We're here with Dan Leach with A Quality Building Inspection Service. Thank you, Dan. And you're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show, and talk to you in a bit.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
It's good to be back. We're on the last segment. We're here with Dan Leach, who is a home inspector. You've done 500 a year for the last 24 years?
Yeah, on average.
And
that's a lot.
That's
4 million, I think. Is that what it calculates?
Is that 4 million?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe 5.
Stick with home inspections, Dan.
Okay.
I have 3 more questions. Do you give bids? I've had clients ask the home inspector, well, how much is that going to cost to fix?
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer?
Answer is no. We're not out there as a contractor. We're not out there to give bids. The reality is that, you know, I could throw out some numbers and the numbers would probably be wrong anyway. So it's important, if there are some problems that need to have a bid by a qualified contractor, get a qualified contractor out there to give you a bid.
Sorry, that was my phone. I was supposed to have it on vibrate. I thought it was.
It's $20, Mike. Thank you.
$20.
$20.
I'm
yeah.
So sorry.
Thank you.
That was rude of me.
It's all right. Later.
$20?
$20.
I wasn't going to be 40, but whatever.
All right.
All right.
Daniel, kick in the 20.
Do you give referrals?
No, I do not. Here again, that is, it's actually a conflict of interest. So an inspector should never give referrals for any kind of trades, work, contractors, or anything. And the reason is simple. Although we would assume that all inspectors are decent people, but there's probably some that are not. And some may say, hey, you know what? You got a roof problem and my buddy Bubba can go ahead and take care of that, or my brother Joe. You just can't do that. So it's just better to go ahead and give the information, tell them what kind of contractor they should hire to come out and look at it, and let them do it.
I agree with all of that.
Thank you.
Those are softball questions.
Yeah.
I have a hard question for you now.
Shoot.
What's 24 times 500? Don't look. I had to actually do it on my fingers.
62,000?
12,000. You've done 12,000 homes. My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, in 12,000 homes, you must have stumbled into crazy stuff. You must have found, have you found a dead body?
Sure. Sure.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. Not human, but
yeah. Oh. Oh my gosh.
Well, you didn't ask human. You gotta be more specific in your questions.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
All right. What kind of,
All kinds.
Cats.
Dogs. Yeah, dogs, cats, rats, possums, mice, rats, lots of rats.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've had a lot that have been mummified, which is very, very cool. What that means is that,
Okay. Let's
you
go to
the
next question.
Okay.
No.
Been mummified? I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, usually if you see a skeleton down there and it doesn't have anything on it, it's because the flies have been able to get to it, and the beetles, and they've been able to chew everything off. But sometimes they can't get down there. So it ends up being a mummy, just like what you see, you know, in a sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big word. I know. It's that.
Wow.
A lot.
That's
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And you haven't seen my Facebook page, have you? You haven't seen
I have.
Oh, you have. So you've seen some really crazy things
that I
post. Well, yeah.
And you had a sunset that you put on there the other day, trying to make me feel guilty that you had to work really hard on the beach.
Yeah, that was my intention. Sure. One really, really cool thing. I was underneath the house, and it took quite a while to get back into this one area, and it was all kind of dark back there. And, of course, you know, when I'm crawling around, I carry a flashlight, and sometimes it's so dark that literally if you turned off the flashlight, you would not be able to see anything. Mm-hmm. I love my job. And I got way, way back there, and it was a little moist, kind of damp in the air, and I happened to see these.
You don't get claustrophobic?
No. Thank goodness. It would not be a good job for me.
I wouldn't do that job.
Yeah. But anyway, I got way, way back there, and I happened to notice these little, small little black things that had these white sprouts coming out of them. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And there's probably 20 or 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I got closer and closer, and I realized that they were rat droppings that had, obviously the rat had eaten something, and then it had these sprouts, like Brussels sprouts coming out of them. They were white, and it was the coolest thing, but until I realized what they really were, it was pretty disgusting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If my kid
I do wear a dust mask, by the way.
If my kid was here.
And my wife does kiss me after I get home.
Ooh, too much info. Mm-hmm. Can we go to break?
Mm.
Okay. If my kid was here, he's going to ask you.
Yeah.
How about treasure? Have you ever found any treasures? Have you ever found any, you know, things that people have hidden?
I can't talk about that. I might get in trouble. The answer is yes, actually. I've found some very interesting things. I found in an old house, I opened up a panel, not that I broke open but the panel, but there was a kind of like a little secret door in this old house that was vacant, and I found thousands and thousands and thousands of tiny little, well, they were, you know, pennies. Not tiny, I guess they were just pennies.
Oh.
I don't know how much they were worth. I didn't take any, of course. I just left them there.
That wasn't your, that's not the way they paid you?
No.
I was going to do that too.
Yeah. No, there wasn't.
What else have you found? What crazy stuff have you walked in on?
Okay, there was one, actually a couple times, but one time in particular where I crawled underneath this house. It was another vacant house, and I always wear coveralls, and in this case they happened to be, those were green. And I came out of the house, and I noticed that my coveralls were not green anymore, they were black. Now that was kind of strange, and then I noticed that they were moving. I was covered in thousands and thousands of fleas.
No.
Yeah.
And so, okay. That's
so. I just brushed. I can see you're starting to scratch your head right now. Yeah. Okay. So I just kind of brushed them off, and then I took off my coveralls when I got back out of my truck, and then I was in my truck, and they were still jumping across my arm and onto my head. Now the fortunate thing is that fleas, for some reason, knock on wood, don't bite me.
Hmm.
So I did not have a single flea bite, but that was probably one of the more
Maybe
disgusting.
It's because your white hair. They're afraid of you.
It might be. But on another occasion where I was doing an inspection and the termite man was there, and we both were on the outside of the house, and I noticed he was going first in front of me, and he started scratching and like brushing things off, and there was a lot of fleas that were jumping on him, and they never jumped on me.
Oh my gosh.
So it must be the way I smell.
Have you ever been attacked by a dog underneath, or like a,
I've been bitten twice.
Ooh.
Yeah. I had one that was Portuguese water dog, and it bit me in the hand, and the owners weren't there, but they had said it was in the laundry room. Says, oh, the dog is fine. It's nice. Nice. Dog wasn't nice. Was not nice. And bit me. I drew blood. So that wasn't nice.
Ooh, how about rats? Have you ever been bit by a rat or a mouse?
No. No.
That's what I would be afraid
of. For the most time.
Spiders.
Yeah.
I hate spiders.
Literally on some of these old houses, when I'm crawling underneath them, I carry a stick with me, and the stick is there primarily to get the spider webs out of the way.
Well, you're the first guy under the house sometimes for decades.
I usually am. I usually tell the real estate agent that they should go underneath to clean it out for me, but they never do.
I wouldn't do it either. No way, buddy.
Yeah, well. And I got to tell you, there's one story that really disturbed me. I was doing an apartment complex, and there was probably 10 units. Oh, I got another story after that, too, so hold on here. And I got into this one unit, and there was a younger gal, and she had a little baby on the floor. Mm. And I proceeded to go ahead and do the inspection, got into the kitchen area.
Mm.
And I noticed that there was just a few cockroaches on the countertops. And I thought, this is not so good. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a cabinet that had a couple screws, and that's where the water heater was in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to struggle with getting that cabinet face off. And as I did that, I noticed that there was some kind of lint or something that, you know, kind of fell onto me, onto my head and onto my shirt.
Daniel's sitting there shaking his head.
It wasn't lint. It was thousands of cockroaches in the water heater closet.
Are
it was
you kidding
so
me?
Disgusting. I feel so bad because that lady's there, and you know, and this is during the day, so you can imagine what happens at night when the lights go out.
No.
Horrible. Horrible.
Hate cockroaches.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody loves cockroaches.
No, I don't think so. And then I had another time where I did another inspection on units. Must be a problem with units. And I crawled underneath this one unit, and I was way in the back. And the access hole, when I first got there, the gal that lived in that one unit, she had put all kinds of junk over the access hole, so I had to take that away. She didn't speak English. And so when I got into the back of the crawl space, I noticed that it started getting dark. She was covering up and closing up the crawl space, and that was the only way out of there. And so I started yelling, but she didn't understand what I was saying, and so I'm scurrying back.
You're burying me alive.
And then I started thinking in my head, okay, now if I can't get out that way, how long is it going to take me to burrow through the concrete foundation wall to get out?
Did you have your cell phone on you?
No.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, nobody would have missed me.
I don't want your job. I'd rather sell houses and be above ground, on top of the floor rather than below the floor.
But you wouldn't have these stories, though.
What are you telling me, Daniel?
We need to start wrapping it.
How much time do we have?
About a minute? Yes.
Don't you want to talk? We mic'd you up.
Well,
we can't get you to talk on the show, but you talk all the time during the day.
Oh, Mike.
Come on.
That hurts.
Ooh.
Wait till the show's over.
I know.
Tell us that joke you told us earlier there, Dan.
It's okay. Yeah, well, we have to wrap this up.
Yeah,
though.
Tell us that joke.
Yeah.
Remember that joke?
No, I don't remember. I have amnesia.
That was the one that was not funny.
Dan, thanks so much for being on the show. This has been great. I'm sure the listeners learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I'd love to have you on the show another time.
Hey.
Maybe we can talk about other...
More specific stuff.
You want to do that?
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Okay, great. Future shows we have. We're compiling. I'm compiling a list. I have a list of 400 things that I've got to do to sell a house.
Wow.
So that's going to be a future show. We have the owner of Keller Williams, if I can ever nail him down, to sit down and talk about a little bit about Keller Williams. We're going to have a show about if you want to be a real estate agent, what to expect. I get that question all the time. I want to be in real estate.
Good.
I've heard I have to do this, that, or the other. And anyways, hey, the music's on. I'm getting kicked off. Thank you, Dan.
Right. Hey, thanks, Mike, for having me on.
It was a lot of fun.
The opinions expressed in the Mike Bell Real Estate Show are solely those of the host and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at TalkZone.com, Keller Williams Realty, any board of realtors, or anyone for that matter. Always hire a real estate attorney when making real estate decisions. Do not try any of this at home.